5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I am the keeper of a greater magic, a power known throughout the universe. As the...
The Force?
No, the Schwartz.
Navigating through the chaos of these modern days. Oh, lost in the radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth.
I can't breathe in this thing.
Schwartz be with you. That's right. Spaceballs 2. It's definitely happening. We knew it was happening. We knew Josh Gad is he producing or directing it? Like he's Mel Brooks isn't directing it, is he?
No. Mel Brooks is going to be Yogurt, but yes. That's going to be the only role that he has.
Okay.
The director is going to be Josh Greenbaum, and he's the guy that directed that Strays movie about the dogs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody been naughty. You're a naughty eye, you little naughty eye. Ooh, ooh.
You're right, Bug. I like this humping.
That was pretty
funny. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
So is the full title is the Spaceballs, a non-prequel, non-reboot sequel, but with reboot elements franchise expansion film. Part 2, is that the full name of it?
Yep.
Well, it's not a search for more money?
No. Now, I have to eat some crow. I was saying I would never see this movie, but I have to go back and rewatch the original Spaceballs, maybe have a different appreciation of it, because I liked it, I guess, the first time I saw it, but it wasn't Blazing Saddles. Or Young Frankenstein level of Mel Brooks comedy, but it was still, you know, good and memorable and quotable. And this one is shaping up to be something special, I think.
Yeah. And now the biggest pull for most people is the fact that Rick Moranis is going to be coming back as Dark Helmet.
Coming out of retirement.
His first role since when?
30 years. This will be his first role since Honey, I Shrank the Kids Again or something.
What about that time he got beat up outside of the hotel?
That doesn't count.
No. Oh, okay. We got on the news. I don't know. So is there any story as to how they got him to agree to come back, or was this just something he wanted to do?
Since they're going to be releasing it in 2027, so that's going to be the 40th anniversary. And since it's going to be the 40th anniversary, he felt, and the rest of the main cast is coming back, he felt that he owed his fans and Mel to, you know, get back in the swing of things again. Plus his kids have grown up now, you know, he retired to take care of them when his wife passed. And so, you know, this is a way for him to, you know, step back in. And, you know, he didn't want to step back in and Honey, I Shrank the Kids, you know, for the fifth time.
No, there were way too many of those.
Yeah. So this
first one was good. Yeah.
Bill,
it was pretty
good. Bill Pullman's coming back too.
Yeah.
And his son's going to be in it.
Who's his son going to play? I guess his son.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do about, some people are no longer with us. Like Dom DeLuise, obviously he wasn't essential to the plot, but he was what, Pizza the Hut?
Yeah, they could put anybody in that costume.
And then you had, who do you have? Well, Joan Rivers is gone. She was the C-3PO robot, I forget the name of.
And what about Daphne Zuniga?
She's alive.
She's
going to be in it, though?
Yeah, she's going to come back as, I guess, Queen Vespa.
Must be. And then, of course, John Candy. John Candy.
Barf? What are you?
I'm a Mog. Half man, half dog. I'm my own best friend.
On it, but I can imagine that Josh Gad is going to be Barf Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes
sense. I can't see him playing another role.
Right. Well, this is good news, man. I like the fact that they waited 40 years to make a sequel. That's pretty cool. Any other movies like that? What was the time between Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2? That seems like quite a while.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Maybe not close. 40 years.
That would have been close. That would probably have been the closest.
I think they ought to make Little Big Man 2, even though Dustin Hoffman couldn't play him now. Because there is a sequel to that. The author wrote a sequel book to Little Big Man, and it's pretty damn good. I think they could make a movie out of it. But anyway, that's a sidetrack. Spaceballs 2. We should all watch Spaceballs again and then revisit it.
I almost did that last night. I ran out of time, but I was like, I'm going to watch Spaceballs again before the show. But that's a better idea if we all watch it and then revisit it. That was my first Mel Brooks movie I saw, because I was a kid. So that was the first most appropriate Mel Brooks movie for somebody who's 8 years old. And then after that, I watched, you know, the other ones like Blazing Saddles and, you know.
But have you seen the babies doing the campfire scene on TikTok?
No.
Oh, that's great. I saw that. You said that. You tagged me in it. That was the first Mel Brooks movie I ever saw, but it was on TV. And I do remember they didn't edit the farting on TV.
No.
Is Tim Russ going to be in this one?
He should.
What is his line?
What else he's doing?
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir. What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
He had a funny video go viral where he's talking about that. He goes, I've done this. I played this character. I've been in this. And I'm only remembered for saying one line in a stupid We ain't found shit.
Yeah, he was like a big Star Trek. He had like two different Star Trek roles that he ran for years. And he was like, yeah, but nobody remembers that.
Michael Winslow's also in.
He was the other guy. No. He was in the radar thing.
Yeah.
The radar, sir. It appears to be jammed. Raspberry.
He was a creepy radio guest because he would stare at the interns and then not leave. He would linger.
Oh, really?
Call back and try to get their numbers. So confirmed, you have Bill Pullman, Mel Brooks, Rick Moranis, Daphne Zuniga. I'm sure we'll find out more about some of these. Now, is George Weiner still alive? Hey, 79 years old, so maybe he'll come back. Who did John Hurt play in Spaceballs?
He played himself. He played his character from Alien.
Oh no, not again.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, my baby.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Tony Cox is in it. I don't remember Tony Cox being in it. Phil Hartman, he obviously won't be in it. Dick Van Patten and Stephen Tobolowsky.
But they're all coming back. No.
Not Phil Hartman.
Because a lot of them are dead.
Tobolowsky might come back.
Yeah. Well, he's captain of the guard, so maybe. Dick Van Patten, I totally forgot he was in it, but he's Vespa's dad.
Yeah.
He won't be in it either.
Yeah.
But when you wait 40 years to make a sequel, a lot of your people are gone. One of the cool things about that movie, whether you're a huge fan of watch it 1,000 times, it had a ton of amazing catchphrases that we said over and over again. And then when it came out on HBO or you could rent it, you memorize these things. Because back in the 80s, you did that. And even in the 90s, I would say all the way up till about, I don't know, 2020 or 2005, maybe 2010, if you really want to push it. Our generation, we were kind of the kings of doing that, kings and queens of memorizing these movie lines and repeating them over and over again. And that sort of died off. I mean, I can't think of a line, maybe one line from a TV show that's now almost 10 years old, or maybe not that long, at least five, from The Mandalorian, this is the way. People say, this is the way. Yeah. But I can't think of any other.
We use one, me and my nieces use one from Euphoria, that show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is this play about us? Like when I saw my daughter doing that fake stand-up on TikTok, I think I sent it to you guys, but I was like, is this play about us? Like, that was a big joke.
Is this play about us? I use that line from Euphoria on Tim all the time.
Yeah.
Put your penis away.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. All I have to do is...
Well, it's funny.
I wrote with a leaf. But go ahead. I was going to say that the Spaceball catchphrases, we put some down. And jump in if there's others. Go ahead, Dustin.
Catchphrases have, it seems like, gone away, but in reality, I think what's happened is they've been replaced by meme culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, kids from, you know, this generation are, they laugh when you quote a meme instead of a line from a movie.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Okay, think about Leroy Jenkins. That's 2005, so that's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's still something people say, and that's from a video game. World of Warcraft. Leroy Jenkins, let's do this, which is the first time I saw that, it cracked me up. And then I started seeing it in pop culture and, you know, still using it from time to time. Yeah, you're right, Dustin. It's meme culture. It's the TikTok trends. It's trending things that happen and they disappear, but there's a little bit of it left and in a quote. But these quotes that we grew up with, they just kind of live in my vernacular. I say things all the time that are from a TV show or a movie, and even audiobooks that I've listened to over and over again, like, let's just say Stephen King's The Dark Tower series. There's things in there that I'll sometimes include them in texts to Dustin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he gets it. We'll be doing it with Dungeon Crawler Carl. By the way, I'm almost done with book 7, and I'm antsy as fuck because that book is antsy. But new achievement. Can anybody do that?
New achievement.
Reward? Nothing. But from Spaceballs, you have...
What's the combination? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Yes.
That's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
What the hell am I looking at?
And I am your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate. What does that make us? Nothing.
I sing, like when I'm doing the dishes or something that I don't like doing, I sing Princess Vespa. Nobody knows.
That movie is one of the many movies from the latter part of the 80s that Jeff and I saw together in the theater, as we would go almost every weekend and go see a movie and then sometimes only pay for one.
Oh, yeah. Theater hop.
Said it. We thought it'd be fun to just throw out some that we grew up loving or things that are stuck in our heads. Like, I'll give you a modern example, which is from a TV show that not only is from watching it several times, but is also a meme. And that is Tony Soprano pointing to his orange juice saying, I like the one that says shampoo.
I like the one that says shampoo.
But that's everywhere. I mean, because maybe it's because of what I follow or because the algos know that I love The Sopranos, but I see that all the time. But from a movie...
I see it all the time.
From a movie from the 1980s, Why Do They Call You Meat?
Why Do They Call You Meat?
From Porky's.
Yeah, exactly. So throw in you guys. Go ahead. We'll just pop these out and see if we can... Like, if I'll try to guess or y'all try to guess.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that the one where the tongue comes out of the phone?
Yeah, tongue comes. Yeah. I use that a lot.
Bitch. And I asked ChatGPT to help me find some of these, and they don't give me the ones that I remember. Like Revenge of the Nerds, they have That's Not a Moon, That's Booger. But I always think of Ogre, You Asshole.
First of two finalists, Frederick W. Polowatsky. Ogre, You Asshole.
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of goddamn nerds. Nerds!
You just got your asses whipped by a bunch of goddamn nerds. Nerds!
One more example from ChatGPT, not giving you the one that we remember. Jeff, see if you know this one. Scoring is a science, and I'm a professor.
No.
All right, I'll give you the quote that you will remember. I don't fuck fossils for free, old man.
Was that Hard Bodies?
Yes. And I asked them to do Angel, and they didn't give me the best line from that. Come on, Molly, show us your whisker biscuit.
Put that cookie down, motherfucker.
What is that from? I don't remember that one.
Hamburger the Movie?
Put those cookies back, motherfucker.
Put those cookies back, motherfucker.
That is a deep cut, Hamburger the Movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. It's so right. Weird.
That's Here's big, an easy one.
That's a big Twinkie.
That's a big Twinkie.
That's a big Twinkie.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Of course, being Star Wars.
Nobody puts Swayze in the corner.
That's the only line I remember from that movie. Nobody puts baby in a corner. I can't think of any others.
You pickle on everybody's plate, college boy, and leave the hard stuff to me.
Watching that movie as an adult is so different.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're like, what are you, 16? Johnny looks like he's 30?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What's going on here?
You watch Happy Days from the mid-70s on, and everybody looks like they're 40. And then you get to the last couple seasons of Happy Days when it really sucked, and everybody looks like they're 50 years old.
Hey!
Me and my friends use this one a lot. A sphincter says what?
A sphincter says what?
What?
Exactly.
Oh, I know. I only saw those movies a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Sphincter says what?
They're great movies, but even by that time, I was starting. I don't know.
I was a lot younger. I mean, not a lot younger. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Having some pizza and learning about Cuba.
Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
What does he say? Mr. Spicoli, just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
My time is our time. Isn't that one of them?
Yeah, right you are, Mr. Spicoli. Come on up here. Everybody grab us. And that's when he goes, dick.
You dick.
Think you know where the front office is.
You dick.
Now that movie, I've seen a million times. And I think,
Mister, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kick 100% of your ass.
Even things that aren't, that you can see, I still remember that. What the guy's wiping off of the wall in the bathroom is
written with lipstick. Yeah,
yeah. Is what was it say? Big hairy pussy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and it's smearing as he's wiping it off.
You kind of find different things every time you watch it.
Yes, and that's Judge Reinhold doing that. And then Judge Reinhold, you have Ruthless People.
Ruthless People. That line was, I love a wrong number.
Hello. Yeah, Debbie's here. Who's this? Well, Ralph. Debbie can't talk right now. My dick's in her mouth. How about if I have her call you back when I'm done? I love wrong numbers.
Gets that wrong call and pranks him.
I like it when the city councilman is having sex with a prostitute and he goes, "You're better than my wife. She just lays there like a gunny sack."
We're going to Cuba. Or going to Haiti.
Yeah, he goes, that's John Pullman.
Pullman.
Bill Pullman. He goes, then we're off to Haiti. Not Haiti.
Yeah, then we're off to Haiti.
Not Haiti. Tahiti.
Tahiti, you moron. Another good line is that Bette Midler, I've been kidnapped by Kmart. let's see.
But it is crazy how... If Family Guy did not use catchphrases from our past, it wouldn't have half the jokes that it has.
You're right.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, anything, exactly. Anything. I mean, now catchphrases that we grew up on and we said to each other, writers use those in lieu of brand new jokes, hoping that you'll... you know, jump on board with nostalgia and bring nostalgia with you. And that's what perpetuates our generation's modern, comedy. Because everything is a callback to something that we've seen in our past.
And to that point, the Simpsons was referential when it first started, but they didn't use it outside of parodying what they're talking about. You know, there's the McMahon and Tate advertising agency. They're not doing anything about Bewitched, but if you watch Bewitched, you know that was the name of the advertising agency, and that was the ad agency. Or the subtle ways they would just throw things in as a callback to pop culture that the writers at that time grew up on, like Conan and Dana Gould, and on and on and on. But they didn't do what the Family Guy did. But again, the Simpsons, I remember lines from that, just stupid, innocuous things. Like one of my favorite lines of all time is,
but on the plus side, I knocked over the sun sphere.
And I'll say that. Something shitty happens, I'll say, well, at least we knocked over the sun sphere. And people will look at me like, what are you talking about?
Doesn't Family Guy get crap for that from other...
No. They get crap for hacky type comedy, yeah. But it's not just, I mean, Family Guy's a great example because they use so many catchphrases, but yeah. When you look at everything, I mean, like Big Bang Theory, one of the things there, you know, huge show, but most of the jokes that are there are callbacks to nerd culture. I started watching, just flipping through stuff, and jokes that would come up about half the time, the jokes are referencing something else other than what's going on. Mm-hmm. That if you know it, you feel like you get the joke.
Yes.
But if you don't know it, it just goes past you. But it's going to get to a point where, and we're coming up on it pretty quick, you're going to have whole generations. You're not going to be able to write comedies and do this same thing with modern meme culture, at least not what we've seen so far anyway.
No, you're not going to get Skibidi Toilet the movie.
Yes, you are.
They are making Skibidi Toilet the movie.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, but you won't get it. It doesn't hold the same weight that of this stuff does.
Let's talk about Commando. Schwarzenegger had all, you know, I'll be back. But Commando and Predator have the best lines. I mean, I'll be back is great and everything, but Sully, remember when I promised to kill you last?
Yeah, Matrix, that's what you said.
I lied.
Remember, Sully, when I promised to kill you last?
That's what, Matrix, you did.
I lied.
Some
steam, Bennett.
That is, by the way, you don't know this, Lizzie, but that is my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and I watch it at least once a year.
Commando?
Yes, please don't bother my friend. He's dead tired.
Don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired.
Yeah. But Predator, even more. You son of a bitch. And those all became the soundboard calls, which are great.
Yeah. Dylan! You son of a bitch.
What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils? Huh?
What's the matter? CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
Yes. You son of a bitch. That movie's, Commando's so damn ridiculous that you have Dan Hedaya playing a Latin American dictator.
Yeah.
Well, Karate Kid, I asked him to give me some quotes from Karate Kid, and it was strike hard, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. But my takeaway is when Daniel loses, he goes, I hate this bike, I hate this bike, I hate this stupid bike.
Well, strike hard, strike first, no mercy was Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Yes. That was not Miyagi.
No. Yeah. But that's
wax
the only
on, wax on, off. Wax off. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I've got one because it used to make us laugh so hard. Come on, baby. You know that was just pillow talk.
What is that?
I know that. Baby.
What is it? Can you
Army
give me
of Darkness?
Oh, that's right.
Ash. Yeah. When she turns into like a demon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's just what we call pillow talk, baby. That's all.
Yeah. Come on,
you
baby.
You loved
you know
me.
That was
you
just
got
pillow
real
talk.
Ugly.
How about I still say this when there's something that I see that I want.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh, yeah. From RoboCop.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
RoboCop was the first movie we rented when we bought a VCR. It was like
really?
5. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. We would family movie night. There was no.
That ain't a family movie.
There was no filtering.
No.
The best line from RoboCop, main bad guy, Red from 70s Show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He walks in there. He goes, "Bitches leave."
Yeah.
Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
He says people will still yell that to him across the airport.
Come on, Sal. The Tigers are playing tonight. Oh, wait. How about that line when they robbed the place and one guy says, "Can you fly, Bobby?"
Yep.
Can you fly, Bobby?
Let's him go. Clarence Boddicker, you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. We met the guy. Who's the guy, Jeff?
Ronnie Cox.
Ronnie Cox, who played the bad guy in that, the boss, who was also Bogomil in the Beverly Hills Cop movie. But Jeff and I saw him play banjo at a house show in Marietta, which was really cool.
Oh, wow.
No, that's cool.
And, you know, also known from Deliverance.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was a guitar player in that.
We used to quote the Dirk Diggler movie.
Oh, yeah.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah. We quoted that a lot.
Yeah.
What quote
did you? A lot of quotes.
Yeah.
Like, you're the top banana.
Aim it at her tits, Eddie.
Yeah, that's the quote.
Aim it at her tits, Eddie.
Aim it at her tits, Eddie.
You need to turn it up a couple of octaves.
May I see it, please? That creepy guy that... Yeah. May I see it, please? That's something. Burt Reynolds going, those are great names. By the way, Burt Reynolds totally robbed for that. For should have won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great movie. So many good actors in that movie.
We haven't even touched on, we haven't even touched on Tarantino films, which are all super quotable, especially Pulp Fiction. Everybody loves that. Terminator 2. Strange Brew. Now, you know, Takeoff, Hoser, all these things that are so typical. But the best line from that movie is, no point steering now, eh?
No point steering now. Takeoff, you steer this thing.
Back up, he's going to blow.
Yep. Oh, I'm so, what does he say?
Oh, no. Jeez, I got to take a leak so bad I can taste it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, that was super funny. Now, I went through a phase where I watched that in the 2000s, and I thought, this movie isn't funny. But then I've watched it again, and I'm like, this movie is fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
and especially how when you find out how Dave Thomas got Max von Sydow to play the main bad guy of Elsinore Brewery. And he said, well, let me check with my son. And his son goes, oh, it's the guys from SCTV. Yeah, you got to do it, Dad. He goes, all right, my son says I got to do it.
And he wore those big ass fake teeth.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
You also had the Big Lebowski. I still say stuff from that all the time.
Yeah.
Really pulls the room together.
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
Yep. I'll say that in the house. Caitlin will say, what do you think of this new carpet? And I go, it really ties the room together. And she doesn't know what I'm talking about.
The bum's lost.
No, I Lebowski. Say that too. And people are like, you're right. It does tie the room together. I'm like, they have no idea.
Anytime my wife is painting her fingernails or toenails, I always look at her and go, I'm just going to go hit the cash machine.
Yeah.
The
bum's lost, Lebowski.
Yeah. Your revolution's over. Get the fuck out of my beach community, Lebowski, you cold bricker. What's that line? Where they're shoving his head in the toilet, and he goes, well, maybe it's down there.
Yeah, it's down there somewhere. Yeah. Let me have another look.
Yeah.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Obviously, you're not a golfer. Kingpin. You guys remember Kingpin? I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got Munsoned.
You're on a gravy train with biscuit wheels.
Yeah. You really jarred something loose there, Tiger.
What is it about good sex that makes me have to crap? I guess it's all that pumping. You really jarred something loose, Tiger.
That's a great movie. I haven't seen a lot of people talking about it. And, you know, how many comedies from the 90s with Roger Clemens in them are people talking about these days? Kingpin stands up.
Kingpin's a great movie. It's...
All the Family Brothers movies were really good. I mean, I hate that they had a falling out and no longer make them, but.
How about Matt Dillon playing one of the best comedy roles he's ever played in his life? And he did so well in that movie. And there's just subtle things. Like, I saw it in the theater with a packed crowd, and I'm the only one who laughed when Ben Stiller first meets him and they're having a conversation. He stands up and his pants are undone. I burst into laughter, and
that's exactly what I was thinking of when you mentioned it. That's the one thing that made me laugh. What's his name, Evans, the British guy that plays the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah. Or and of course our friend who we've had on the show a number of times, Franks and Beans.
W. Earl Brown.
We can't say some of these lines, like,
my real passion is my hobby.
Really? What's that?
I work with retards.
You got this one kid called Mongo.
Yeah. Hit a forehead like a drive-in movie.
We keep him in a cage.
You keep him caged up? Well, it's for his own safety.
Yeah. And then just a couple more lines before we move on. Get your damn hands off her. There's a lot of quotes from Back to the Future.
Yes. Crispin Glover. That you just sounded exactly like Crispin Glover when you said that.
That's so, what I was doing.
Well, that's another thing. If that's a good one. Remember in Back to the Future 3 when Marty dresses up first and he looks in the mirror, that's the first thing he says is, go ahead, make my day. So he used a catchphrase.
Yep.
and they were used like that. It's crazy how many, until I started thinking about it and watching for it, it's nuts how much how many callbacks everything we watched did.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Go ahead. Make my day.
This one's going to be even more fun. Go ahead. Make my day.
Okay, go ahead, punk. Make my day.
Go ahead. Make my millennium.
Is that Dirty Harry? Make my
day? Yeah.
Yes. Well, Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact. Yeah. Oh, okay. It was a Dirty Harry character, yeah.
Not in the pantheon, not good as compared to the original movie. The first movie is amazing. If you've never seen it, watch it. It's so great.
I have. That's one of my quotes I have written down.
Here's a one from, let's see if you know it. I'm here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
They Live.
Yes. The movie with the glasses,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. John Carpenter's They Live.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Who was that? What was that wrestler's name? I know
Piper.
It.
Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
The last one I'll say is, this isn't even the best quote from the movie, but this is pure snow. Do you have any idea what the street value of this mountain is?
I want my $2.
$2 is the quote.
Where's my $2?
Johnny.
4 weeks. 20 papers, that's $2. Plus tip.
Gee, Johnny, I don't have a dime. Sorry.
Didn't ask for a dime. $2.
That's
$2. Cash.
Sorry, your mom blew up.
Or the two
I almost
Japanese
wanted to watch that movie with Al, and I was like, nah, there's too many. Like, it's too old for him. Like, even though I watched it when I was his age, like,
yeah.
I was putting his testicles all over me.
Tentacles.
Or the two guys. the Japanese guys. Lane Meyer, A Study in Muppishness. Yeah.
That's a great movie.
There are some who call me Tim.
That's my favorite of all time because it mentions my name. You seek the Grail. Oh, by the way, those movies, Jesus, you could drive people nuts if they don't like the movies or if they like them and they don't like hearing people talk about them.
It's just a scratch.
Yeah, I used to do that to my friends. They didn't understand it.
Oh. Well, that was how you judged your friends. It was like, is he good enough to be my friend? Well, he can quote back Monty Python, so yeah.
Not even sound bites or clips. Old woman, man, I'm sorry.
No.
Well, I reject you automatically treat me like an inferior. Well, I am king. Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. Please, good people, I'm in haste. Look, Dennis, there's some lovely filth over here. Like they're digging up filth. That's the best writing ever. And I will ruin it. So, what are your favorites? Leave some comments in the YouTube or wherever you are. Post them on Facebook. Some of your favorite catchphrases if we didn't do them from the 80s, 90s, and today.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
We interrupt programming to bring you this breaking news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring you this bulletin.
Here are some stories that we've been following at the Radio Labyrinth News Desk.
All right, this week we're going to do quick hits, some news stories, something that grabbed our attention. Jeff, why don't you go first?
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson is going to be on season 3 of Tulsa King.
Okay, so that sets up his new show.
Yeah, then they're going to spin him off to his own show called New Orleans or NOLA King.
Oh, that's awesome. I like that franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that guy just touches anything, it becomes gold, doesn't it?
Who, Stallone?
Sheridan.
Tyler Sheridan.
Oh, Tyler Sheridan. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we'll all look forward to that.
It looks like they're doing a reboot of Land of the Lost.
Not a bad comedy, right? Not a shitty comedy that isn't that good.
Well, that was the movie. Now, they did do a series reboot in the 90s, which I wasn't aware of until the story came out.
Did you watch that, Jeff?
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's not. No. It doesn't have any of the really good sci-fi writers that the original series had.
Right.
But it's
Harlan Ellison
show.
Write for that show?
For the original.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow, that's why it's so damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, because we were little kids when it was on. We still loved it. But you can watch it.
They had no good sci-fi writers for the first two seasons, anyway, of Land of the Lost.
And you can find an interview that we did with Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley and Kathy Coleman.
Yep. Yeah, and that we did that on video, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll actually, we just had a comment on that today.
No way.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
Well, that's good, so you can find it and put it in.
Yeah. I reached out to Sid Croft's daughter to see if she wants to come on and talk about it, but I haven't heard back.
Oh, keep pushing her. Yeah, I'd love to have her on. We can talk about all that Lana stuff, too. Yeah, I read the story yesterday about this, so I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah, the rumor was a while ago, and this is like 10 years ago, that Akiva Goldsman was writing scripts for it.
Yeah.
So if he's involved, I expect good things.
I do like that it's going to be a reboot and with maybe an homage to, like, I would love it if we're here and the other cast members that are still around would be in it.
Yeah.
But, and I was excited when I found out that Will Ferrell and Danny McBride were going to do this movie, but they didn't do it any justice.
No.
It was kind of all over the place. However, right. It does have some real funny catchphrases too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
In that movie.
I don't remember one of them. Do you?
Yeah, well, the obelisk, when they're touching the obelisk.
Yeah.
And it does the voice change thing, and he does the Cher song. Do you believe in love?
Okay.
After love, after love. Oh,
but the one catchphrase that my family uses to this day is from that movie, and it's Danny McBride going, Teriso Tacos. Did you say Teriso Tacos? I'm fucking hungry.
One catchphrase that I think everybody still uses is Michael Scott. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's what she said was before Michael Scott.
Oh, I know.
He just because popularized
of him.
It.
Yeah, because of him.
He did. And I do use that a lot. So does my family. My daughter use it a lot.
Have you seen the TikTok of Michael Scott on Severance?
No.
Yeah, look for that. It's very funny.
I'll check that out. TikTok is good for some things. But
one time
No, go ahead.
One time we were doing improv and I was with Josh Warren and I needed to go. Like my family was I needed to go be a mom. So I killed everybody in the scene.
Oh.
I literally killed them. And he was like, okay, Michael Scott, I guess the scene is over.
And then the earth blew up.
Yes. And what was the thing whenever I'd write a story? Oh, they all got run over by a truck. Lizzie, you got a quick, we're not going to do it.
Diddy stuff.
One quick
story. Yeah, there's not much to do a deep dive over because they're having jury troubles.
One guy kicked out, right?
Number six is out. Yeah. And then number seven, they're discussing, but somebody released, the judge found an article, which should have been closed. Somebody leaked it. Somebody either in the defense or the prosecution leaked the story.
Okay.
So, but they canceled court for today. So we can talk about Kanye. Kanye showed up.
What was he doing there? Support?
I guess he was there. He was there in support. He was dressed in all white. But 2 days prior, and
the
white
out.
He dressed all in white
for the white party.
Yeah, he dressed all in white denim. By the way, nice. And he was there with his wife. And one or two days prior, there was an unnamed rapper that Jane Doe talked about that was having sex with his wife and the escort Paul. So everybody's thinking that's Kanye. But anyway, he showed up a day or two later after that, and he did not go into the courtroom. People say it's because he wasn't on the list. He went into the overflow. He says it's because he did not want to disrupt the jury and have all eyes on him.
All right.
So he was just there to support. So he stayed. It says 10 minutes in the article, but from people on the ground, he stayed for about 40 minutes, and then he went out to lunch with the Combs family.
Okay.
Afterwards. So what was he doing there? I don't know. Supporting? If you're Diddy, do you want Kanye's support? I don't know.
He'll take whatever support he can get.
He was Frank Pantangelo's brother showing up to that Senate hearing.
Who is that fellow sitting to your left?
So my story is about Paul Stanley, who said he was being teased because of, well, I said that being teased about my facial deformity, which was being born without an earlobe or an ear, helped me connect to playing Phantom of the Opera. And I said that on the Billy Corgan's podcast, The Magnificent Others. Did you guys watch that yet? It was beautiful. It was amazing. But if you read my book a couple of years ago, you knew that already, that the kids would chase me and call me Stanley the One-Eared Monster. And I got in a fight with a guy. I really dig Billy Corgan's podcast.
Yeah.
His views.
Or.
Snooze.
Yeah, last week was Alone, which I'm not sure if I'm into it now that they're in the desert.
Now, no snow?
Nah, it's just different now.
Yeah, sweating and freezing are two completely different things to watch somebody
do. Yeah, I mean, nobody's going to get frostbite. Not much yet. They're trying to catch some fish.
Me and Jones were like, we can find that show boring because they're like alone. So there's no interaction. Mm-hmm. And we were like, but we haven't given enough time. And we're like, Jeff could be on the third or fourth episode and somebody's getting eaten by a bear. Yeah. And we just haven't given it enough time. So is that the case?
You're just going to wait until someone gets eaten by a bear.
That happened to Horatio Sands' parents.
Yeah. A bear ate my parent.
When?
20 years ago.
And Revival, which I watched the first one. It's pretty good. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching it. I might. I'll give another one a shot, probably. And Echo Valley, that Sydney Sweeney.
My mom helped me kill somebody and hide them.
It was that? Okay.
Not I'm so great. Terrible. I haven't watched anything.
This week, this new show called Marooned with Ed Stafford comes on Discovery. This is another kind of alone, naked, and afraid show.
Yeah.
The guy is marooned on different islands. Looks pretty cool. Has like no supplies at all.
What was that Stephen King short story where the guy gets marooned with a heroin?
Yeah, and he eats everything but his fingers at the end.
Yeah, he starts eating parts of himself. Yeah,
he was a doctor until he could like cut off his...
And he used the heroin to numb himself.
Yeah. Until he was down to just look like when Johnny comes marching home or whatever.
Yeah.
I can only read that one time because it just creeped me out so much.
And the bear comes back for season 4. Hopefully it'll be better than season 3. That comes back on the 25th on Hulu.
And I wonder if he's going to be humming Bruce Springsteen songs to himself.
Did you watch that trailer?
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
He looks pretty good as Bruce.
Yeah.
I got to check that out. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it came out today. The Gilded Age season 3. I'm excited for that. Comes back on the 22nd on HBO Max.
I think I told you guys I'm so lame. The only shows I'm really going to focus on when they come out are King of the Hill and South Park.
I can't believe you haven't watched season 2 of Tires yet, man. It's so
I will. I just haven't had any time to do
it. It's good. I've watched a few episodes. It's funny. You can tell there's a little more money behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah. And they don't try to focus everything on him.
Yeah.
They kind of spread it out a little bit. Not just Gillis.
I don't have time to watch TV shows because I'm watching shows like Sammy the Bull Gravano on YouTube. That's my staff pick, by the way. Sammy the Bull Gravano reviews Goodfellas, which he sort of breaks down the iconic scenes from it and tells you the truth since he worked for Gambino. And the Gambino people who were mad because Billy Batts, who was killed by Tommy DeSimone, who was played by Joe Pesci, was a part of the Gambino crew. And that was, a lot of that's a true story. But he's really cool. I mean, Henry Hill wasn't good looking and he wasn't a tough guy. He's a piece of shit. And so I started doing a deeper dive on this show. There's hundreds of episodes of this show. And I found, I didn't know this, he did a 1.5-hour interview with Alec Baldwin. Where Alec Baldwin was, so you were doing this, and you were with this crew, and you were with that crew. And wow. And it's fascinating. Or him talking about the Son of Sam. I was in that neighborhood, and Berkowitz was a piece of shit. The dog wasn't talking to him. He was just fucking awful.
I watched part of that one. I saw where he pointed out his dad.
Yeah.
In the scene, that guy was his dad when they were introducing everybody in Goodfellas and the party. Yeah.
So he's going to be doing a lot more of those. That's pretty cool.
Goodfellas is one of my favorite movies, but also with Sammy the Bull Gravano. My dad followed that case. So those were kids he grew up with.
He grew up with them. He knew them.
Yes.
He knew Sammy.
But he got punched in the face by one of them. I'll have to ask him, and then I'll let you know.
Gotti?
I don't think it was Gotti. I don't think he got punched by Gotti, but he got punched in the face by one of them. But yeah, he grew up knowing these guys. He didn't run with them.
No, but if you grew up there, you knew them.
Yeah, he said he was walking out of a bar one night with his hands in his pocket. He was about 19, and there was something over a girl, and he got punched in the face and knocked out.
I dated a girl from Long Island a long time ago whose dad said that he and Billy Joel used to steal lobsters from lobster cages. But Billy Joel was kind of a semi-crook.
Yeah.
He was half Irish, but his dad was fully Italian. And I met this guy, and I'll never forget this guy. It's a catchphrase that sticks with me, and I use it. And it wasn't even in a movie. I met him twice, one summer and then another summer later. And I said, I remember we talked last year. And he looked at me, raised his arms, and went, "The world is a circle," and turned around and walked away. But Goodfellas, full of lots and lots and lots and lots of memorable quotes and lots of Sopranos.
My cousin, which was a woman, met Billy Joel at a bar, or Billy Joel met her at a bar, and tried to get her to come up to his room. And she was like, "No, thank you." And he was like, "Do you know who I am?"
When was this? A couple months ago?
Hey, no, come on.
This was like probably 30 years ago.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Hey, come on, I'm Carrot Top.
Oh, that's a different story. That is a different story that we're not going to delve into. I think about that all the time. Every time I see
Carrot Top. I want to know the Carrot Top story.
Not for the podcast, but I'll tell you. All right, everybody, what's your staff picks? I gave you mine. Sammy the Bull.
Justin Willman, his new special on Netflix, Magic Lover, was really good. I watched that last night.
Cool. Did you watch the new Jim Norton special yet?
No. Was that on YouTube?
Yeah, it's funny as shit.
Was that 800-pound gorilla?
I don't know who did it. I just watched
it. I saw a clip from it where he's talking about his wife's cock.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wait, what?
He's married to a transgender woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Norton is, yeah. Let's see. My staff pick is a movie from 1991 that I just got a 4K version of called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Yes, yeah, good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Me and my girlfriend at the time got in the biggest fight we ever had about this movie.
About the movie?
Yeah. I had a theory that the play that they paid to have the troupe perform started at a certain point. Like the curtain, there's a scene where like some curtains blow out.
Yes.
And I say the play started right then. And she was like, "Oh, no. We got this huge fight about it."
Yeah, for people that don't know, it's a twist on Shakespeare's Hamlet, and there's two characters that they send to relay the information to the other king that's going to, or the other family, and these are the two messengers that they send. Now in the play, they're just like, I think, one paragraph that just kind of mentions them, but this is like their story, and Tim Roth and Gary Oldman play them, and the whole movie is about wordplay and how they speak. The dialogue is amazing, and they play a game of tennis with questions and stuff like that. So it's really a great movie. If you like Sir Gary Oldman, now that he's been knighted, and Tim Roth, you'll love it. Richard Dreyfuss plays a character in it as well, which is good. Not as large of a character, but Roth and Gary Oldman, it's like if you like them, this is just gravy. I mean,
I did Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, I listen to that soundtrack a lot still. I love it.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I love it too. Al loves it. He's watched it two or three times. We've watched it together because he loves it. He likes musicals, like if they're good.
Gilbert likes Skid Row, but he only likes the songs. He hasn't watched the movie yet. He did watch that awful
line. He doesn't like You'll Be a Dentist?
Oh my gosh. He does. He laughed at Martin's character in that movie.
Bill Murray's character in that. Is
they're so funny. It's so funny. Now, and when I was little, I would watch it. Like when I was Al's age, like that's when I started watching it, and I loved it. And it was like because of the way it looked and the sounds. you know? And then when you get older, you're like, this is hilarious. Like, this is really funny.
I was working the tech crew on the play when we did it in college.
Oh, cool.
And it had a big rotating stage that you would turn, and the plant would be on the one side, and the outside of the street would be on the other side or whatever. So I was like turning the big wheel to turn the plant around to the stage. Anyway, well, it was me and this other guy, Brian, and we're back there in the pitch black. And when she's singing "Suddenly Seymour," he gets right in my ear, and he goes, "Suddenly semen is swimming inside you." And I fucking just died laughing.
Hey, I'm back, Mr. Sam Elliott. And I want to talk to you about one of the places I like to go whenever I'm in the Atlanta area, called Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. And they've proudly been serving the East Metro Atlanta area for over 40 years. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is a place to be this summer. I don't know if they have Coors. Coors is a banquet beer. But they are featuring 3 tavern breweries, a night on Ponce. That's an IPA, and it's now available on draft. Atlanta Pizza Nero has the best gyros, pizzas, hot subs, and Greek and Italian specialties around. Family-owned and operated, independent restaurants are a dying breed. And Atlanta Pizza Nero continues to be a local favorite, serving the east side of Atlanta for over 30 years. Hey, Mike's food truck is out and about, so if you see the food truck, run up. Contact Mike at 770-483-6228 if you're interested in booking the food truck for your corporate or private event. Tuesday nights, they got team trivia from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Bring your smartest friends and test your trivia knowledge against the best Conyers has to offer. Hey, they're open for dine-in or takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays 12 to 9. They're closed on Sunday, which is Lord's Day, dude. Another fine sponsor of Radio Labyrinth is LDI Repro Printing. Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment cards.
We love your YouTube comments. Don't forget to leave some comments about your stat picks, things that you like. Put them in the, down there below, whatever. And also your favorite, memorable catchphrases from movies and stuff. We did a couple of polls last week on our YouTube page. Which upcoming project are you most likely to check out? 0% for Prison Break reboot. 8% for the revival on Peacock. 38% for the Tulsa King spinoff, which is good numbers, and Incredibles 3 at 54%. Also, which news story from this week or last week grabbed your attention the most? And at 17%, Sly Stone passing. At 25%, tied for second, Brian Wilson passing, Trump and Elon breaking up. And then, I'm surprised more people were paying attention to Rogan with Cash Patel. Let's see. Let's read your comments here. Roby said, the podcast, A History of Rock and Roll Music in 500 Songs, just finished its episodes on the song by the Beach Boys. What song are we talking about? Certainly not the Manson one.
God Only Knows.
Yeah, God Only Knows. Basically, the complete history of the band is on various episodes of this podcast, and it's worth a listen. I have to agree. If Roby's recommending something, it's probably good. King Reno Band said, never use a Q-tip. Just look at it and throw it away. Great show, guys. And yes, you're right. Aaron commented on our art for the algo. U Reaper also said, Trump and Elon are being compared to Sonny and Cher now that they've made up. I believe it's more like Yoko and Lennon, but I'm not sure which one's Yoko. And Fuxi says 100% agree that if Manson had gotten the credit on his song, he wouldn't have become a cult leader. Well, he was already a cult leader, but a killer maybe. Probably would have written jingles for toilet paper. But a guy can only catch the clap so many times from 30 hippie chicks before he holds a grudge and stops returning phone calls. Oh, we even have more. No, we don't. Oh, yeah. John Bennett said, while sick this week and needing a show to watch while recovering, my brother-in-law kept pushing Lost. I'm almost done with the second season and enjoying it. Any shows y'all missed in the past and recently caught up on? Well, I can't think of any, but that's a good topic for the Radios in the Dark Live coming up. So I'm going to set that aside and we can talk about that. How about that?
Text Impressions by Tim. We are actually, it's very, very show centric. We're going to do Sly Stallone.
Oh, the one
Sly Stallone talking about Samuel L. Jackson joining the Tulsa King universe.
When I heard Samuel L. Jackson was coming to Tulsa King, I thought the universe might implode from too much badass in one zip code. It's like mixing nitroglycerin with espresso. Totally explosive. The man's voice alone can make a grizzly bear apologize. Together we're like a tornado in a leather jacket. This season's not just TV, it's a seismic event.
That's from Jeff. This one's Lizzie's.
When I think about the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, like that dove that descends on some guys, that dove that brings fire and peace. I can't help but see that in Sammy. He walks into the room and it's almost like something sacred just showed up, but you know, with an attitude. Sam is able to wake up to heavens, and that's why he's absolutely perfect for Tulsa King. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a short movie. That's a line from Aqua Teen. Nice catchphrase. And now Dustin's.
So now Sam Jackson's on Tulsa King. That's cool. That's really cool. Guy shows up at one day and says, hold on to your butts, and suddenly I'm the one fetching coffee in the scene where I used to punch helicopters. He's getting a spinoff. What am I getting? A seat at Craft Services and a politely worded demotion to manager at the new Hawaiian burger joint.
Did you say used to punch helicopters?
Yeah.
I didn't. Dustin wrote it. All right. All right. Time for some plugs. Hey, check out Trambles is my weekly audio show. This week's episode is a little much of it was an endeavor for me to do.
I can tell you what, this is probably one of the best episodes I've heard of that. That was really good.
Opening with the news broadcast and the different voices, including my own, at Light FM, LIGHT, a little bit from Del Dump, a song that was a little too socially aware, so I had him talk over it, and then a little bit from me with 6E. So check out Trambles, audio only, every Wednesday in the Radio Labyrinth podcast feed, wherever you find podcasts. You could support Radio Labyrinth by becoming a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member. Just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews, and there you will find out all the different levels and all the rewards, and even how to become an executive producer of this show. For $25 a month, you get a brand new t-shirt from our t-shirt shop. Tim will call you on the phone and talk dirty to you. I don't know, whatever you like. But you do produce the show. And that means you're a part of it, and you get credit for it. So right now, thank you to our producers, John Allen, Matt Carter, Chris Chandler, Mike D, Jim Fortner, Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Brian and Chelsea Smith. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple iTunes, please remember to rate and review us, and you can leave comments on Spotify. I just saw some on a Trambles the other day that weren't from Lizzie. And just kidding. But I appreciate them. And as always, remember to subscribe on YouTube and like all the videos and share with your friends. Until next week, please remember to keep it canon.
What do you say? All good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?